and you're pickling.
Thank you. Yes, fermentation. That's excellent. I heard on the show that Adam was really pressuring you to come to the workshop.
He wasn't really pressuring me. He was encouraging me to do something that would benefit me. So.
All right, guys. We had a good time.
This is episode 120, I believe, of Deborah Gets Red Pilled.
I think 119. I think last time you said 118.
She's got notes.
On the
23rd. Do you want to get technical? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Wait a second. No, because the one before that on the 20th was the 18th. So you're right. This is 120.
Yeah, I've got two that I still need to release. I'm behind. I was supposed to do it, but I've been super busy on the farm. It's crazy. So
yeah, how's shepherdhood?
Stressful, man.
Yeah. How many you got now?
I got seven. Uh-huh. And I just had to weaning the dairy lambs from their mom. Mm-hmm. So I had to put the mom, I had to make like a little stall in the barn for her. We're feeding her hay until she's done, until she's dried up, as they say. And then I made a little corral for the babies to be in by themselves and eat. They can still eat grass over there. So, but they're all crying right now. They're all upset. So,
yeah.
As a lactating mother, that's really hard for me to hear that.
Yeah. The hardest part of all of it is catching them. They're like really hard to catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's one of those things. You feel that way now, and if you keep this up, and 10 years from now, you'll look back and go, "Oh, remember how I had a hard time a long time ago?"
Yeah,
figure out all the tricks.
Yeah, I was moving the ram, and the weather are hanging out together, and they're like behind some like portable, movable electric netting fence.
Yeah.
So I was moving them, and they got out, so I had to get them back in with some treats. And then Loretta, the ewe, ran over and like got in the. I had the babies separated yesterday. And they escaped overnight. Oh. So I was like, damn it. So then today I got Loretta, ran in. I got her. I was like, might as well go for it again. I got her cornered. She has a collar, so I got her, and I had to drag her like 200 yards to get her to the barn with like her heels like dug in. Aww. I was all winded, and then there's like another door to the barn, and the little ones ran in there to try to get to their mom, and they got trapped. So I grabbed both of them at one time. They're like 40 or 50 pounds each, and put them in their area and got them all in there. So,
wow. Yeah.
And then we're getting our basement waterproofed tomorrow and Thursday. So like I have to move everything to the center of the room. I just disconnected the water heater. I've never done that before. I drained it into the hole in the middle of the basement, like disconnected all the electrical and stuff. So
yeah,
we got cold water. So that's at least better than
nothing. You got running water.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you guys up there? How busy are you?
No, busy enough.
Yeah. We've got stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just spending a bunch of time. I'm getting the, what we're calling the berry patch section of our garden. I'm going to put in another cattle panel to hoping that our grape will really take off this year. And I want to get that going up on an arch.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, there were a lot of weeds that I'd let go this year so far that were starting to surround all our blueberries, and they weren't getting as much sun as they should be getting.
Yeah. They're still pretty small, 'cause we just put them in last year.
Yeah.
But then we have enough raspberries that are coming up. That we can transplant and start a whole nother row of raspberries. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Once raspberries take off, you'll just keep multiplying them. It's great.
Like even our dog likes to eat them. She eats them right off the bush. That's what they're.
Cute. Yeah. She's cute. She pulls her lips back and gets and just pulls off one berry at a time.
That's what Deborah does.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I pull back my lips.
So yeah, that and there's a bunch of stuff coming up in the garden, and planning another fermentation workshop for online and another in-person one as well.
Cool. What's the next topic?
So I'm going to do another one that we just did, the fermentation for food preservation, because there was a bunch of people that wrote me after that said they were sorry to miss it and wanted to do it. So Sunday, May 15th at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll do that one again for whoever missed it that wants to join me.
Yeah.
So just go over the basics of both brine fermentation and the dry salt method, like sauerkraut, and food safety, all of that kind of stuff again. And then I'm going to do fermented beverages shortly after that. I'm not sure the date yet, but closer to the end of the month or beginning of June, we'll have one that's water kefir, kombucha, tepache, and fruit kvass.
Awesome. I've got a question. The day of the seminar, I harvested some whey from some yogurt and put it in a little jar in the fridge. Is it still good, or do I gotta
Yes, it's not gonna be as potent after a while, and that's what, 2 weeks or about 2 weeks
ago? Something like that.
I've used it after a month and I feel like it's still good. If you open it and put your face close to it and you can still feel that, it's like almost a sparkly effervescence that, you know, then it's still alive.
Cool. Yeah. I'm really, I want to make mayonnaise.
Cool.
And then, I've got a, recipe from Cultures.
For Health.
Cultures for Health. I got their coleslaw recipe.
Cool.
I love coleslaw. So I'm going to try to, I'm going to make, recreate fermented KFC coleslaw.
Sweet. If you do,
very sweet.
If you do put a lot of sugar in there, some Miracle Whip or whatever.
Yeah.
Miracle Whip.
Is that what that is? I always thought I hated. I always thought, can we make fermented Miracle Whip?
No, you cannot.
Is Miracle Whip? Is it just mayonnaise?
It's a miracle, Deborah. That's what it is. It's the Lord's miracle.
You have to be a religious person.
I used to enjoy it.
It just reminds me of church picnics, like going to somebody else's church that you're not familiar with on a, like an after church gathering. There's like every salad there has got Miracle Whip in it. Even the Jell-O salad.
My dad's mom, my grandma, on my dad's side I loved her so much. They were like my nice grandparents. My other grandparents that lived in Washington were like scary and super old, and they were like 80 when I was born.
Aww. Oh yeah, yeah.
I think my grandparents died when they were 88 and I was 10.
Yeah.
But they were super scary. But my grandma in California, she was awesome. And but she was a horrible like cook. She was like a 1950s, you know, like horrible, like broil everything, burn everything, but she would just put Miracle Whip on like iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
As salad.
That's what I used call to, it I a was, salad. I was waiting.
That's the salad dressing.
I was waiting to put my two cents in. When I was in college, I used to get iceberg lettuce, but I'd mix a little Worcestershire with my Miracle Whip. And that would be my salad.
Oh my gosh. And everyone thought they were being healthy, but really it's just poisonous industrial seed oil.
No nutritional value in iceberg lettuce.
When I think of Miracle Whip, I just think of horrible tasting, like kind of sweet mayonnaise.
It's like sweet and tangy.
It's
a mayonnaise alternative. It's marketed as more healthy, but I don't actually know. It might be that they don't use egg yolks like mayonnaise uses egg yolks. So it's lower in fat, but the whole thing is oil. So I don't actually know.
Yeah. Is it just a vegetable oil version of mayo? But
they also have something called sandwich spread. Have you ever seen that? It's like best food sandwich spread.
My grandpa loved just like Wonder Bread and and sandwich spread, which is just like Miracle Whip with like pickles, pimentos in there.
Relish. That's Great Secret Depression sauce. Shit right there.
Secret sauce. Yeah, so don't make that with the whey. Make something better than that, please.
Yeah,
and sauces. If you do salsa and just like puree it or chop it really fine and put a tablespoon or two of the whey in there and let it sit on your counter for 2 days, you got fermented salsa.
Fermented salsa is awesome too.
Yeah, it's really good. And it'll last in the fridge.
Do we still have the old one?
Yeah, How old is it now? It's from May of 2018.
Yeah, so it's still good.
That's awesome.
So that's almost 4 years, yeah.
I got my dog out.
How much did you make at to make it last that long?
Well, I made a quart, but I got down to having like a half pint left and I was like, I want to know how long this lasts. So I just kept leaving it, and I just taste it once in a while, just so I could have an experiment until, like, actually know what I'm saying when I say, "Oh, you can make your food last a long time." I want to actually have an experience with that.
If you kept adding to it, would it keep fermenting and going?
Well, if you started a new batch of salsa, you could use a spoonful of the old stuff in the new stuff and leave it on the counter for a few days to get going. And then, yeah, sure, you can mix the two together.
That makes sense.
That's called backslopping. Remember that term? Backslopping is when you take a little bit of an old ferment and add it to the new one to get it kickstarted.
Yeah.
That's not what it meant when I was younger.
My parents went to France, and they went to some restaurant. They make this thing called cassoulet, which is French like stew with
white beans, and delicious.
And they'd been going on the same batch since 1750.
That's so cool,
rules.
I mean, that's how old guys like your grandpa or my dad's dad don't have anybody in the house except them, and they just start a stew and just perpetually continue it.
I knew a guy when I sold meat 15 years ago or so. There was a guy who'd come into the store once a week to buy meat, and he was always asking me different questions and stuff. And one day I asked him, "What are you making?" He's like, "Oh, it's just same thing I'm always working on. It's the same stew I got going." And he told me all about that he starts a stew every fall, and he finishes it in early spring, and he just keeps adding to it all year, just in a crock pot, just always going. So he was always looking for different meats with the right fat content to be able to, just chop it up and throw it in there. Kept throwing vegetables in. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's rad.
For sure.
Deborah, are you prepared for today's topic?
Disneyland.
Not Disneyland.
Just all of Disney.
Disney
just
World.
The dark side of Disney.
I'm ready.
Side of the magical empire. Is that what it's called? The magical kingdom.
Kingdom.
Magical
empire.
Kingdom. Let's be serious. It is an empire.
Yeah.
I was thinking we were talking about the tax situation, but this is even
that's
more
all
good.
That's all going to work in.
That'll all tie in. Yeah. Well, I'm curious, Deborah, did you, when your kids were little, did they watch Disney? Was that something, Disney movies and stuff?
Probably.
Yeah. Emily's constantly talking about Lion King. Yeah.
Little Mermaid.
Lion King. Okay.
Yeah.
She's younger than me.
Yeah. I've never even seen The Lion King. And I tell her that. She's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm 42 years old. I'm 8 years older than you, So
I only saw it for the first time, a year ago?
Yeah, we watched it
2 years ago, something like
here,
that.
Yeah.
And because it's one of those, a lot of people just think it's a given, but it's like, man, I was listening to heavy metal by the time that came out. I did not care about the Lion King.
Yeah. You didn't care about Hakuna Matata?
No.
Hakuna Matata didn't do it for you?
Hey, Hakuna Matata.
What's going on, Matt?
How are we doing?
Awesome. Hey, guys. Today, so we're doing the dark side of Disney. And since we got everybody here, let's just go for it. Let's not do pause and introductions. Matt T from the Great Deception podcast is here. Our old buddy. What's going on, dude?
Not much. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's a fantastic backdrop you got there. That's the Columbian Exposition of, 1893 in Chicago?
Yeah, that's the one that set me on this journey.
Yeah, that's the cover
that
of
that and Howdy. Disney. Those were the two. Between Howdy's book and a stupid meme about five guys creating NASA, it sent me on this journey to where I am now. So,
right on. So, what are we going to, how are we going to get this kicked off?
I don't know. Well, we were kind of. Oh, go ahead, Matt. Yeah. What do you got?
No, go ahead. I was going to say, I mean, with your timing is perfect, with all the stuff that's going on in the news today, it kind of shows. And this is what got me into it, right? Was I didn't want to get into this and prove that Disney was this dark place that, could possibly be programming people. I watched Disney movies as a kid. I was a babysitter as a younger kid and teenager, and there was nothing better as a babysitting tool than putting the kids in front of Disney. So
did you watch did you watch Sunday nights? The Magical Kingdom?
Yeah.
Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday night.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
So it was on ABC, right?
And they played the When You Wish Upon a Star song, right? Is that
how it went? Oh, yeah.
With Tinkerbell.
Yeah. And then they had the little drawing and the star going across the top.
We watched that religiously. I say religiously, like specifically, because like every Sunday night, my parents would host a Bible study. And part of that was I went next door to my grandparents' house and we would sit and watch The Wonderful World of Disney. And, you know, it didn't matter what it was. I mean, it was important to me and my sister that we got to see that every week.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it when I went on your guys' show to talk about children's programming.
Oh yeah.
I brought up the one that stands out in my head the most is Mr. Boogity for some weird reason.
Mm-hmm. Sure, me too. Yeah, that was a big deal to me when I was a kid. Like anything around Halloween that had to do with Disney, it was really eerie.
Yeah.
Even Fantasia.
Did you what was it like when you were a little girl, Deborah? Was it a Sunday night program as well? I say program, mm-hmm. not program, because I like Wilford Brimley, but
program.
Yes, I watched it growing up.
What is there anything that you can remember as being was it like a made for TV movie every week, or would they just show part of an animated film? Or
I think so. I think more that. I really don't remember, but I remember the opening and I remember the closing.
Yeah.
And that I looked forward to it, but I don't remember specifically what kind of programming it was. I think it was different all the time.
So yeah. for me, I really remember when I was a kid, there being that controversy of inappropriate sexual stuff being drawn into certain parts of Disney movies. So I was probably like in middle school and I remembered we had the Little Mermaid in the original clamshell, and I went to find it to see if I can see the dicks on the castle, but my mom had loaned it to somebody and they didn't return it. And I got really mad at her. Like we had a fight over it because I wanted to see it.
Was it in one of the big puffy plastic
boxes? Yeah, the big clamshell puffy thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The white one.
Those ones, there's distinct to Disney, those ones, you know, like you can tell. Looking at a collection of VHS, you could see how many Disneys there were by the size and the way that white puffy stuff kind of stuck up out of it.
It became an obsession to find those spots. And like, this was before you could just Google something. So I was picking up our old VHS tapes and fast forwarding to where I was told there would be some spot, you know, Lion King had sex spelled out in the clouds when one of the... Yep. Lions sat down, and I found that. And then there was another one in Aladdin where he says all good teenagers take off your clothes, and he says quickly, and it totally he says that it's like under his breath, and it's very strange, and it's what he's trying to, you know, seduce princess.
Is it Gilbert Godfrey as the parent that says it? It's not. rest in peace, Gilbert Godfrey.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing, like along that those lines, Lainey, is in The Little Mermaid, when Ariel and the prince are getting married, in the old version, the priest would get an erection.
He had a boner. I saw that too.
Yep.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, yep. He has a boner.
And what you have to think about, and this is what kind of flipped me on Disney, was when you think about animation, it's done cell by cell. Mm-hmm. So
there's no mistake.
Exactly, Deborah. The attention to detail is so fine that what's in there is meant to be in there. There is nothing that's in there by an accident, you know, and they used to play off the old, you know, the penis on the cover and the nude girls in the background in other movies as, it was just the animators having some fun.
Yeah.
You know, they're throwing some Easter eggs in there for people to, you know, dig around and find out. Well, no, in reality, it was subliminal messaging. And we were the victims of it.
So and the frame movies, by frame thing. Go ahead.
Sorry. The movies that, you know, you mentioned are all more current day, not the old timey Sleeping Beauty, Snow White movies. Was it going on then too?
That's a good question.
No, what you see in those is more like hand symbolism and things like that. Uh-huh. It's not so sexual. The sexualization didn't come around until later. That is a more 80s and 90s thing, you know, when you start getting into Pinocchio's and think and stories like that. I mean, the story of Pinocchio, it just blows your mind when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this old man with a little boy and, you know, it's just creepy. And his name, the boy's name is Geppetto. You know, I mean, it's too eerie to be coincidental in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
What's Geppetto?
Pedo.
Geppetto.
Like when, the pedo. Yeah. The
one
pedo.
Of the last times that Eddie Bravo was on Tinfoil Hat, they like played a clip of like the two guys, the two like kidnappers that take the little boys to the island. And they were saying like, you know, we kidnap them. And then he like whispers in his ear a bunch of stuff you don't hear. And he says, and then they never come back.
No, he says, they don't come back as little boys.
Yeah.
That's really what he creepy. Says. And that's so, it's so messed up because I mean, you know, that might as well be that they're talking about like Epstein's Island and the boys go there, but when they come back, they're no longer little boys.
At that time, if you guys go and listen to there's an 8-part podcast series called The Clown and the Candyman about John Wayne Gacy and then this guy that was before him.
Yeah, I listened to quite a few of those.
There was a huge pedophile trafficking ring for young boys in the Midwest from early, like from the 40s and 50s that continued on all the way into the, maybe even into the 90s. And they had an island on Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just watched that Gacy documentary last night.
Pure garbage.
Pretty garbagey.
Like every other Netflix.
Is that the Gacy serial tapes or something?
Yeah.
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 Because there's a whole bunch of validity to him saying like maybe he was involved in two of those murders. Like that could be true.
He could not have acted alone. That's the conclusion. Yeah,
cover up.
Looking at it a bit.
Yeah.
It's like so many of those serial killers. Yeah, we start talking about Disney and then all of a sudden we're talking about serial killers.
Together so easily.
But so many of them, you know,
how it all connects.
It just turns out that it doesn't look like a lot of those people acted alone. That's to a certain degree a cover up for rings that were going on.
Yeah.
Similar to those
everywhere, Chud, right? I mean, these rings were everywhere in society, and that's what we're starting to see. And what was the mentality was different back then, right? I mean, it was just kind of almost accepted in a way. And I forgot whose podcast I was listening to, and they were talking about this issue, and it was yours, I think, with Johnny.
Yeah.
Cerucci.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how in Boston they would go to the priests and try and figure out, what do we do? You know, your guys are molesting my kid. What do we do about this? Like that thought just blows my mind.
Yeah. And like more often than not, the solution was that child needed to be counseled by the priest that was molesting him. Like they were abusing. Yep.
Well, it's similar to the idea of us, the government causing problems and us going to the government to find our solution. I mean, that's just what everyone's doing on a regular. And Matt, I'm interested to ask though, do you have a kid or kids?
Yes, I have a 9-year-old.
Okay, 9-year-old. So have you watched any of the newer generation of Disney with him?
Some of them, yeah. He's kind of hit or miss with Disney. The last one that we watched together was Soul. And he really, I mean, we both kind of enjoyed that one. That one was a little different, a little lighthearted. I mean, still, I watch it and I pick up the little things in there, you know, but I, you know, with him, I'm not going to obviously say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I go to my sister because we were watching at my sister's house. And I said to her, I said, you notice this, this, and this? And they're like, oh, no. And then the newest one is the one that gets me, is that Red Panda.
Okay.
The I've one heard that's about out it. Now that's all that. About a girl having her period.
Oh,
and how, you know, when a full moon, she can start acting crazy and all this stuff. And she turns into a red panda when it comes every month. And it's, you know,
this is one of those Disney movie.
Yeah.
So is are they open about it being the period part,
or is the symbol?
I mean, they're pretty open about, like, it's like the undertone of it is this is the message of it is supposed to be, you know, trying to help girls and things like that, and to help other people understand what they're going through.
Right
now,
I think you mean menstruating people, because it's not just
that's true. Men can have babies nowadays, apparently. So,
that's what they say.
It's such a slippery slope, you know, because I see where you could see the good in it, but it's a kids' movie, you know, and that's not your place, and that's much like the school system.
Exactly it. Yeah. It's exactly it.
Wow.
Well, it'd be really easy to go into Disney and the woke stuff that's kind of current right now. But I'd kind of like to ask Matt to give, particularly Deborah, a little bit of a rundown of Walt Disney himself, and where he comes from.
Oh, nice. Well, oh, look at that. Hollywood's Dark Prince.
Uh huh.
That looks like good reader.
I read that book. Have you read that, Adam?
I read a little bit of it. It didn't get too deep. It just mostly talks about like how much he hated commies and how the FBI or the CIA, I can't remember, was using him to like subvert the unions and the stuff about his dad and stuff like that. Thomas from American Paranoid American suggested that one for me.
Oh, okay.
And Thomas worked for Disney for a long time as an animator. And is also a 32nd degree Mason. So.
Whoa.
great.
And some would say it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
As we get into this. But no, I mean, you look at Disney and he's an interesting figure, because like I said before, how I got into this was I saw a meme and it had a picture of Aleister Crowley, Wernher von Braun, Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard, and Walt Disney. And it said, you know, what do these five guys have in common? Well, they all started NASA. And I was like, well, I mean, Crowley was dead before NASA started. So I was like, this kind of seems, but I'm like, Walt Disney, I'm like, how is he tied in with these guys? So I started digging and I'm like, this has got to be just, you know, another one of those internet hoaxes. You know, they're saying he's a Freemason, he's a pedophile, all this stuff. So I had to go in and start digging. And much to my dismay, the more I dug into it, I didn't find the dark, dark stuff with Walt. But what I found with Walt is there was the public persona of Walt, and then there was Walt Disney, the man. And Walt Disney, the man, was very flawed, especially in his older age. But Walt Disney, the symbol, was pure. He was holier. You know, he was up on a pedestal. He's one of those people that you say the name Walt Disney, it's the happiest place on earth, right? I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And you think about his story, and it's interesting because he's born in 1901. So we're at the turn of the century, and a weird correlation to the picture behind me is his father actually worked at the Chicago World's Fair. He was a carpenter who happened to get a job at the Chicago World's Fair. Now, is that by chance? Is that, you know, you get into these people that say, oh, he was placed there, which means Walt was placed to do what he was supposed to do. And, you know, I find that hard to believe. And even in that book, Adam, there's a part where he talks about Walt being possibly adopted. He's a child of Spanish royalty or something that was adopted by his parents in America, which isn't true. I mean, his mother birthed him. There's a birth certificate, the whole deal. So that conspiracy can be thrown away. Now, the one thing with him, though, is as a youngster, he was very patriotic. He grew up in the Midwest in the early 1900s. And as a teenager, he wanted to join the service because World War I had broken out. However, he was only 17 at the time. He tried to get into the armed services. They rejected him because he was too young. Being the person that he was, he said, okay, well, how can I get around this? And this is where things kind of start getting a little interesting. He forges his documents and gets into the Red Cross at the age of 17 in 1918, and goes over to France for a couple years, a year or so, with the Red Cross. Now, what's the Red Cross a symbol of? The Red Cross is also a symbol of the Knights Templar. which I wasn't aware until I went on with New York Patriot, and he was saying to me, because as we go into this, after he leaves the service, he joins the D-Malay. And if you're not familiar with the D-Malay, that is basically the junior varsity version of Freemasons.
It's the kids' version. It's the high school version of Freemasonry that they had, the D-Malay club and every high school.
Yeah.
I think they still have them. I'm not sure, but
I'm sure they do.
They were really common, weren't they, Deborah?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what it was, but
And then they had a girls one too, I think. So
the night I know what it is, but I can't think of it right now.
It's all right.
Yeah. And it's for the kids 12 to 21. And he was 19 at the time. And it's interesting because they are, like I said, the underlings of the Freemasons. So you start to see him with some ties on top of this. And it even says on their website, the D-Malay chapters are sponsored by the Masons through local Masonic lodges, shrine clubs, Scottish Rites Body, and other Masonic organizations.
Yeah. And Jacques D-Malay was the leader of the Templars, who was burned on the stake on, you know, whatever, Friday the 13th. I don't know what 13, month. 13/12, I think, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. My favorite band, American band, is called the Templars. I'm really disappointed with how they treated the whole pandemic situation, but I have a Templar cross tattooed behind my ear. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What does that look? Is that look like the Red Cross, or is that more like the Portuguese one with the outline around the outside? Looks more like
it's just
something Lemmy would wear.
It's just like a red Christian cross with white background.
So like longer on the bottom.
Yeah, and then, square.
Got it.
But I've seen it both ways though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Women of the Eastern Star.
Yes. Yeah. Women of the Eastern Star.
Wow.
What a name.
So Walt's in this club from age 19. Is that mm-hmm. where we were?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
So he gets into the D-Malay, and you know, he's trying to figure out what he wants to do back here. And he decides, all right, he's going to be an animator. So he starts up this animation company. And he's working with a gentleman by the name of UBI Works, who a lot of the people that I read about say that he was the one who created Mickey Mouse. And he was the real artist behind Disney, and that Disney was more of the business marketing side of things. Yeah, Disney was an animator.
Had he had been an artist before as well?
Yes.
Disney? Okay.
Yeah, Disney. Yeah. Disney had always, you know, from a young age, had always been into arts. But he had a real thing for the military for some reason at that, you know, 17 years old, and you know, went off and then decided to come back. Now, what's interesting as we dig into the D-Malay, he eventually gets put into their Hall of Fame when he's about 35 years old, which you know. Seems about right, but I mean, it just shows that he is a high-ranking member of this. And in 1935, his company isn't really Disney yet. In fact, between the time he joined the D-Malay and the time he's into the Hall of Fame, he actually goes bankrupt. His company goes bankrupt. And so what he does is he regroups and he decides to start it again with his brother Roy. And they start the Disney company, the original one. And what's interesting about it is around this time in the early 1940s, Disney, they're starting to get on their feet and he's starting to do well. So he tries to do well for his parents and he wants to install a boiler for his parents. So he just grabs a couple of hands from the shop and sends them to his parents' house. Well, they did something wrong. And his mother passed away from inhaling the fumes, and his father was hospitalized because of it. And this was in the 1940s. as we fast forward and start looking through the Disney programming, one of the things you're going to see over and over again is either dead or missing parents. And yes. A lot of people attribute it to Walt and this instance. I would tend, the more I think about it and the more I've thought about it, I would tend to put that on Roy Disney. Because during Walt's time, there were only three movies where that was the case. It was like Cinderella, Snow White, and I can't remember the third one. But there were three movies during Walt. Yes, Bambi.
Oh,
during
Bambi.
Walt's
yeah.
lifetime.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then after Walt had passed is when you start seeing the majority of it. So, and that's what we're going to see here. It's interesting because the initial start of Disney, as we start going through it, he starts it out altruistically, right? But then what we're going to get into right now, then he starts getting involved with the FBI. And then he gets involved with the CIA. Then he gets involved with NASA. And this is where you start to see it go from, you know, the Walt of World War II, which during World War II, Walt Disney was heavily producing propaganda for America against the Nazis. So you will see some cartoons with Donald Duck dressed like a Nazi doing a Hitler salute. And people will screenshot that and say, oh, Walt Disney was a Nazi. See? Well, no, it was actually Donald Duck making, he was reading Mein Kampf and making fun of Hitler for being so stupid.
But it's said that he was a rampant anti-Semite, that he hated Jews. Is there any truth to that?
That is something that is, you know, something you can't deny from what I've read. There is really no denying he was a misogynist. He had anti-Semitic tendencies. And, you know, he was a smoker. He was a drinker. He was a very flawed man, to say the least. But he had this talent and he had these connections. And what we start to see, it's interesting because think about this. Would you ever just willingly, for no reason, give the FBI your fingerprints?
No.
Doesn't seem to make sense. But in 1936, he gave the FBI his fingerprints at a DeMille convention in Missouri. And you start, so that you think about that and it's like, okay, either he's working for them and they need them to check, or they're watching him and they want to keep an eye on him and they need his prints.
Is there any context to how that happened? Or is it just that we know that it's on record from around that time?
Yeah, it was just in the FBI documents.
Yeah.
That they met him at this meeting. They fingerprinted him and that he was going to be willing to work with them. Mm-hmm. So what you start to see now you start getting into World War II. And this is where he starts working with the government a little bit, producing some propaganda stuff. But at the same time, he also has some ties with this group called the New Masses, which is supposedly has communist ties. So because they were doing some ceremony to honor a guy named Art Young. Who was a big guy back then. And so what the FBI does, they have to go and investigate Disney to see if he's a communist. So you can go through the FBI files, and I've gone through as much as you can read. A lot of it's redacted, but what you can read, you'll see that they went through and they came back and say, no, he's not a communist. Well, basically, in order to validate that, what they did is they had him testify at the 1947 House, what is it, Un-American Activities Committee. It was basically the witch hunt back then, right? It was along the lines of the McCarthy era, what they did then from a witch hunt standpoint.
Was that Disney? J. Edgar Hoover?
Yeah. Yeah, this is all Hoover's doing still.
Cross-dresser.
And so what does Disney do? He goes to the commission, and he sells out his striking workers and says that they're all communist. And then he also calls out the League of Women Voters. Now, for the latter, the League of Women Voters, he catches a lot of flack and has to backtrack on that one. But he stood firm that all those striking employees of his were communist.
Which makes him not a communist if he's ratting out the communists.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, that kind of just shows you where we are with Walt, right?
They were trying to unionize probably, right? And that's why they were striking maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. They wanted better hours. They wanted better pay, you know, all health, some health things they wanted taken care of, you know, on the job, you know, like things like safety precautions, things like that.
Yeah.
Like OSHA, you know, type thing.
I've been in two different labor unions, and they make you swear that you've never been a member of any communist organization. But you're like joining
except it. This one.
Yeah, you're joining
except, yeah, except on, the one you're signing up for.
Full on commie organization. Exclusive.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, so what's interesting is we'll fast forward a little bit to 1955, and Disney opens up Disneyland in California. Well, as he does this, he gives FBI full run of his park. They can use it whenever they want for whatever they need to use it for. And that seems a little bit much to me, but to many people, they say, oh, it's just him doing his service. And what they do work together. The FBI and Disney do put together some programs selling the FBI to kids as a good thing. There was a series in the 50s and early 60s that he did with the FBI. And, you know, so there's one, and one example of how Disney isn't as wholesome as we think. Now we start getting into the CIA connections. And this is where you start seeing when people are connected with the CIA, they don't just pick anyone. They pick someone that they can work with, that's going to work with them. And if they're not going to work with them, they're going to take care of it one way or the other. So what they do is Disney teams with these guys and they're going to develop Epcot. Now, I'm not sure if everyone knows what Epcot stands for, but it's the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
It's basically a permanent World's Fair.
Yes.
Would you say? Yeah.
That's what it is. And that's exactly it. And it's funny you mentioned that, because in the 60s, when the fair was in New York City, Disney went and helped them work on it. And that's actually where he released It's a Small World. Now, if you think about the meaning and symbolism behind that, it's very interesting, you know, releasing It's a Small World at the World's Fair, you know, in the 60s in New York City.
Yeah.
And especially with the ties his dad had back to the World's Fair, you know, we're going full circle here.
Mm-hmm.
But what does he want to do? They have Disneyland. Now they want to create another one in Florida. They want to create a Disney World. The problem is they want to do it differently than they did it in California, and they have a plan. And so what he does is he becomes friends with two ex-CIA agents. One is a gentleman by the name of Wild Bill Donovan. Anyone with the name Wild Bill, you can surely trust.
That sounds familiar. What's he famous for?
He was head of the OSS.
Okay. Yeah.
He was, which is the precursor to the CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's one of George Bush's buddies probably and all that.
Oh, I guarantee he was probably buddies with Prescott too, you know?
Yeah.
Because what this guy did is he had law firms. So what he would do is he set up all these shell companies. And what the shell companies would do is they would go down to Florida and they would buy up plots of land. And they would do it in a manner that no one could connect the dots as to who was buying it. And we're not talking about a few acres. We're talking about 25,000 acres, about 40 square miles is what they end up buying up. Now, what they do in the process to hide what they're doing is they spread propaganda. They'll tell the newspapers that, oh, this is for the Ford company. You know, this is for, you know, X company, the big companies that could really afford it. And so they go around and they're buying up this land dirt cheap. I mean, they're getting it for about $200 an acre on average. Then the people somehow find out that this land is being bought by Disney. All of a sudden, the land goes from between $200 and $800 an acre up to $80,000 an acre.
Now, is this Disney in the 60s?
Yes. Okay. This is in, yeah, in the, I would say 64, 65, Deborah.
Okay.
Right around there, because the park opened in 66. But yeah, so what they did is they went around and through these companies, they bought up all this land. And if you think about that in itself, that's a laundering scheme right there, because they just made millions upon millions of dollars if they don't even do anything with the land. Mm-hmm. Well, they go even further. Now he brings in this gentleman named Paul Helliwell, who used to run CIA ops in Southeast Asia and Vietnam. And his expertise is setting up municipalities. So what he decides to do is create these small towns. And he creates two towns, one called Bay Lake and one called Lake Buena Vista. And these are shell towns where only selected individuals can live. Yet these are the people who vote on all of what goes on in the area. So it's a very smart way that they can strategically place who they want to live in these areas. Now, to give you an idea, as of 2020, I think the population in Bay Lake was 42. So we're talking about a handful of families, handful of people here that are selected to live in these areas. Now, what, in addition to these two towns, he created what's called the Reedy Creek Improvement District.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what that is that's essentially the municipality that takes care of all the services, you know, fire, police, you know, waste removal, things like that. And in doing so, and what you've seen in the news lately is they created basically their own little kingdom where when they paid taxes, it went back to Disney. Any revenue they collected on in their land went back to Disney. So they were essentially able to run this area, and they are able to run up until now, run this area however they want.
They've effectively had complete and total control.
Yeah, full autonomy.
Yeah.
And that's as far as how the land is used. You know, when it comes to zoning, they're not subject to the zoning regulations. They're not subject to any of the regulations that other people would be. And so that's why, you know, go flash forward to today. That's why this is such a big deal to them, because if they lose that tax status and that privilege, they're going to have to just shell out tremendous amounts of tax dollars. I mean, that's, and on top of it, they do have, unfortunately, a $1 billion loan against them. So the poor people in those tax districts would have to eat that as well if this does all go through. So
is it still a select group of citizens that can live in this area?
Yeah, in those two towns, it's like I said, it was 42 in Bay Lake. I want to say Lake Buena Vista was lower. It was probably about half of that. It was in the 20s. So, yeah, and those
people get to vote. A lot of black people or no?
I would imagine not.
Okay.
You don't see a lot of color in Disney. I mean, unless it's the rainbow color these days. That's about it. But that's where, so this CIA thing gets, it gets real interesting. And, you know, you start tying it in to them being able to do stuff. Now, there's another thing that nobody has ever died at Disney, because anyone that gets injured or does die is taken off the premises and then pronounced dead. It's one of those weird things about the park. But
it gives them an ability to have that as a stat that they can, you know, how many people have died at Disney? Zero.
Yeah, like
yeah. Zero.
The water slides in our small town here that, you know, has like, what, 40 people go there a year, had a guy have a heart attack, die last year.
Yeah,
so they
yeah.
have worse,
it, it
they
happens have from stats. Time to time, just about anywhere that's a public space or a place that, you know, people come and go to all the time. Occasionally, someone will have a heart attack or, you know, slip and fall or, you know, whatever else. But Disney has this ability to say, zero since 1966 when it opened. Wow. Not one.
It's and the that
probably
place
and that
on
probably
Earth.
Transfers to you know, child abductions and things like that as well.
Haven't there been a lot of trafficking stories coming out of Disney World?
That's another thing that you hear about these stories about people going missing at Disney. And, you know, obviously there are a tremendous amount of tunnel systems underground at Disney that, you know, where they move things so people can't see it, but that could also be used to traffic. And
at both, actually, at both parks, I know that that's a deal in Orange County, and they have that as well in Florida.
Oh, Orlando's even bigger. Yeah. Orlando has an expansive network of tunnels underneath it. Now, Deborah, to that effect, there was these two women who came forward. One of them was named Bryce Taylor and the other is Kathy O'Brien.
Yeah.
And they described in their books how they were regularly brought to like Disneyland and Disney World, and they were tortured and raped while being programmed.
Kathy O'Brien was who owned her? She was originally owned by maybe Robert Byrd, the KKK guy that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden love, from West Virginia. You know that guy?
Yeah, he's the one that Biden did his funeral. He was at his funeral or whatever. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I know she had ties with someone. I don't know who it is.
I think he was like her original owner, handler. And then was sold to some somewhat famous country western singer in the 80s, but yeah, Robert Byrd's the one that if you fact check it was Robert, it'll say Robert Byrd was not Grand Wizard of the KKK. He was a Grand Cyclops.
He was a step below.
Thanks for setting us straight, fact checkers.
They really did that. That's what I think Snopes or somebody did that.
Let's fact check. Okay,
sorry to derail you there.
No,
Kathy O'Brien's a big into the Q movement now. I heard her on Freeman Fly last year.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And that's where, you know, again, is it credible? I mean, supposedly there's CIA documents to back up her statements that they did have rooms underneath that they used for programs like this. Now, one of the things, now that we have this connection with the CIA, there's some rumors that Walt Disney was supposedly cousins with Alan Dulles, who was head of the CIA at the time. I can't prove that. But one of the things that he did was Disney worked with the CIA as well and allowed them to use his facilities. So we get into some interesting things. If you think about the Mickey Mouse Club, right? MMC are the initials. Well, one of the biggest CIA mind control programs was Monarch Mind Control, which is also MMC. And then you think about MK Ultra. Well, what were the members of the Mickey Mouse Club called? They were Mouseketeers. Hey. So, I mean, it could be a coincidence, but when you look at it, a lot of these kids who were Mickey, you know, Mouseketeers, especially in the recent past, I'm talking 90s, early 2000s, their lives have just been a train wreck.
Yeah, let's run down the list. So, I mean, most obviously we got Britney Spears, right?
Yep. And we got Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, Christina Aguilera.
Selena Gomez.
Justin Timberlake.
Yep. Christina Aguilera. There's just...
I'm always blown away. It's often that I hear, oh, and they were in the Mickey Mouse Club too, you know, and it's just like, really, you know, I don't know.
Do you know about the private dinner club at Disney?
Yes. Yes, there is it's a club called Club 33, which ironically.
I got to get a bell. I got to get a bell, like just a manual, like bell. That's what they do on No Agenda. Every time they do 33, they hit the bell.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been listening to Ryan Dawson on any podcast lately, he rings the bell for certain last names as well. So.
My husband was in LA on business with a few other people from his firm. And I don't know who the client was, but the client took them to dinner at the 33 Club at Disneyland in LA. And it's like evidently $100,000 to become a member, and then, you know, exorbitant fees every year, and it gets you into this restaurant.
And that's it? That you pay that much to get to a restaurant?
That's what they say.
Yeah, what do they serve
for dessert?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you get a little shot of red liquid at the end of the night.
Yeah,
go.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. No, it's only Deborah, for ritual purposes.
Yeah, what did Eric say about it, Deborah?
He said it was really grand and swanky, and they had a little gift shop, and so he bought me a scarf.
Do they? It's
the same 33.
It's in Disneyland.
Yes, it's in the Enchanted Castle. Yep.
Do you remember what color the scarf was? Yes. You remember what color the scarf was, Deborah?
Predominantly blue, purple, yellow.
Do you still have it?
I might. You want me to go look?
Not right now, but we'll see it later.
Hey, yeah, what are the colors of the Freemasons? They're blue and yellow. And what are the colors of everything that's going on right now?
Ukraine,
blue and yellow.
That's what's ironic about Rams.
Who won the Super Bowl? Los Angeles Rams. Yep.
They're really driving those colors into us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at Club 33, which is 33 is the Masonic number, right? It's on 33 Royal Street and it's on the 33rd parallel. Okay. Whoa. So this isn't by accident. So you go into the place.
They sought out that land for that parallel, and they put the coup de grace of Disneyland on the 33rd parallel on
purpose. Wow.
Yep.
That's insane.
So the elite of the elite can do their thing on the 33rd parallel.
In the happiest place on earth.
It doesn't even matter if you believe in any of that kind of stuff or not. They clearly do.
Yeah, that's the
period.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You go into the place, it has a checkerboard floor, which is a Masonic thing. Like I said, all the curtains and everything, all the linens on the table are blue and yellow, which are Masonic colors. Probably two pillars. There are two pillars as you walk in. And it just has tremendous Masonic overtones. Now, the interesting part, when I started researching this, like Deborah said, it's not cheap. Okay, there's only about 500 members in the club. Now there's seven of them. There's one in California still, four in Florida, and then two in Asia, one in Japan, and I think one in China possibly.
So is it on the same parallel in Florida as well?
Yeah, I was just wondering that.
No,
Florida seems like it'd be a little lower.
Florida's much lower. Yeah,
yeah, the dong hangs down.
Yeah,
America's
one. And Disney's kind of down and over. So, but to get into it, right? There's like a 15 year waiting list. There's no legacy, right? So you can't pass it on to your family. If you die, the next person in your family in line, has to wait their turn. But to get in, it's about the initial membership fee, $33,000. And then the annual dues are another $15,000.
Is there a public listing of members, or is it kept private?
You cannot. I have not been able to find a name on a list of any of this so far.
And to be able to cross-reference that with like Bohemian Grove, Bilderberg. Davos,
list would be gold.
Yeah, and that's what and like Deborah said, you don't get anything for it, right? Other than being able access to the restaurant. I mean, you get like stupid perks that these people don't care about. Like you can go to the park any day you want. free parking.
Well, maybe they just really like Disney and they really want to support Disney.
And they just want to go to the front of the lines.
Yeah,
that's it. That's worth 70 grand, why not?
Did he say what the food quality was like or anything?
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It better be.
It was wild. I also just remembered that my high school, I grew up in the California, in the Bay Area. Piedmont High School. And my, we sold C's suckers and raised enough money that we could hire a bus and take the seniors. After we graduated, we had grad night at Disneyland.
We went to fucking Scandia in Fairfield.
We got on a plane, and it was, you know, after hours. It was at midnight, and it was just high school graduates.
Yeah, we got the Scandia Family Fun Center in Fairfield, California. I got to go in the batting cages. I played some miniature golf, bumper cars, you know.
The girls had to get on their knees to make sure their skirts touch the ground because, you know, dress codes and all that. And then we dropped acid.
That's the way to go.
You dropped acid at Disneyland as a senior in high school?
Mm-hmm. But your skirt was long enough, so
my skirt was fine. Yeah.
So you were an upstanding moral citizen if your skirt was long enough.
That's right.
That's a great story.
You've probably done more drugs than anybody on the panel, and I've done a lot of drugs.
I don't think so.
But she's lived longer, Adam. That's right. Jeez, that's don't right. judge.
And I grew up in a time when it was more innocent.
Well, wow. Now it's legal. Isn't it more
That's
innocent?
True.
Now?
That's true. Well, if you're talking microdoses, but we, you know.
That's not what you were talking about then.
That's
you're
for amateurs.
Heroic doses.
Wow.
Let's see. Yeah. So where were we with the, we're at the Club 33.
Yeah, and basically that's what it is. You know, it's an elite club for elite people, and it's just another one of those things that looks occult. You know, it looks like it's, you know, has some ulterior motives. We'll put it that way. So then, you know, you go from there to him getting involved with NASA. And this is kind of where you start to see the whole Disney thing change. And this is in the 50s when he teams with NASA or Von Braun, Werner Von Braun, anybody that doesn't know, it was the leading Nazi rocket scientist at the time.
And was brought SS member as well, right?
Yes. Yes. High in the SS, was brought over in Operation Paperclip to work for the American government. And so who better to team him with than our leader in children's programming? So what they're going to do is he comes over here with this grand idea, right? And their whole thing is space. You know, we're in the 50s. They're starting to ramp up the space race. And, you know, we're post-World War II. So we're in the Cold War. And who better to lead us than an SS Nazi scientist?
Well, they used to wheel him out on Sunday nights for the kids, right? They'd have him. Do you remember seeing him on the shows, Deborah?
No.
I've seen footage of it. They have him like on the
Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him like on
probably, there. But it wouldn't have, you know,
with groups of kids.
Old guy? Yeah,
just a smart German guy,
big, tall, blonde German dude living in Huntsville, Alabama. You know, who known?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they played him off like he was just this innocent guy who was all about rockets. You know, he was right around all these, you know, and his camps used labor to build his rockets. So, I mean, how they got this guy in and what they did with him is a joke, you know, the way they parade him around America. But, you know, it was all part of our plan back then. And if you look at it, he came up with the idea that the future is television, right? The age of television was going to be the 50s and the 60s. And what he was going to do, he was going to create with NASA this thing called Science Factual. Now, if you think about that today, it's the same thing you would think of as today. Now, what Science Factual, they wanted you to trust the science. They were going to make you believe that science was the way. So what did they do? They teamed up and they made some movies. And I don't know if you remember the movies, Deborah, but they made Man in Space, Man in the Moon, and Mars and Beyond in the 50s and 60s. 1955 was Man in Space, and it got like 42-43 million people that watched it. Now we're talking in a time when there's no DVR, and if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. There was no
VHS, they were seeing that flicker rate at the same time.
Yeah, yep. What's the population of the United States in 1955? 100 million people or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't much. I mean, so a tremendous amount of the population saw it. And even like Eisenhower, he's like, if I can help through my TV or Disney said to the president, he goes, if I can help through my TV shows to wake people up to the fact that we've got to keep exploring, he goes, I'll do it. And what's ironic is that, I don't know if, you know, this is just kind of a stupid fact, but Von Braun actually wrote a book in the 60s about going to the moon. And do you know the name of the character, or going to Mars? Do you know the name of the main character in the book?
Oh, I've heard this. Elon? What?
Elon.
Elon. Oh. Elon.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was 171 million at that time. So it would have been like a quarter of the population.
Yeah, so that's amazing. But yeah, so think about that though. Elon, what are the chances? The guy that in 2022 is going to take us to Mars is the guy that Wernher von Braun wrote about in his books back in the 50s.
And I've never heard that name other than Musk.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I've heard somebody, I can't remember where it comes from. It's not a South African name. It's named after somebody. I forget who it was though.
And didn't he just buy Twitter?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to save us all with free speech, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Free speech. So that's where, you know, and that's what it is. You start looking into the ties with NASA. They did all these movies together. And then we're going to just assume that they stopped working together, right? I mean, that this was all in good fun. Well, let's get to the kids programming now. And so we talked about it before, you know, the themes in Disney. And this is where you start having to look at it, not at face value. You have to look at it as a whole. Because if you just look at it at the face value of the movie that Disney throws out there to you, yeah, you're going to get swept away by the music and the colors and everything. But if you look at the storyline and the themes that are presented in all this distraction of colors and music, it's very dark and abusive. So the Social Science Journal did a report, and they said there were 561 incidents of child abuse and mistreatment in Disney movies released between 1937 and 2006, with 62% of the main child characters being subjected to abuse on one or more occasions during the film. So nearly two-thirds of Disney movies have the main character being subjected to abuse, sometimes more than once. So right then and there, you have to look and be like, okay, guys, there's something wrong here. Why is our child's programming filled with children being abused?
Yeah, it's weird because I think we all take it in a way, you know, like you're saying, we get swept up in the music and the colors and all this stuff that, like, when I was like, say, 20 years old and wasn't interested in Disney, what something I would likely said was like, yeah, I don't want all that family value crap. You know, like I'm partying and I don't care about all of that. Like, you know, the world's a perfect place and, you know, magic is everywhere and we all live in these perfect families. Like, that's the way my mind computed it. And I thought that Disney was giving me a picture of perfect families. But then you start hearing like what you're saying, and it's like, no, they weren't. They weren't at all giving me that picture. But my brain still told me that that's what they were telling me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at any one of the movies, just if you think of it, they're come from a broken home. Mm-hmm. And then there's at some point where someone tries to attack them or they get hit or, yeah. I mean, everyone that I can think of right now that's the case.
Yeah. Just like take whatever, like I think it's the first one, Snow White, you know, that's a really weird, dark story with, you know, people trying to, you know, a stepmother, I think it is a stepmother or queen or whatever. She's trying to kill the girl, you know, and she's running away and, you know, the pig's heart. I don't know. There's just all these things. But then what do you think of after you've watched it? What does a child's mind think about after they watch it? You know, whistle while you work. You know, like these happy songs. And it's like, you know, you were saying that you would use Disney movies when you were a babysitter as a young man, you know, like because kids love those songs and they're all like happy. They give you a warm, they give a lot of people a very warm, fuzzy feeling inside, which then wires in our brain connect that to being like, oh, because that's what, you know, a caring family is like and all these things. Even though we didn't see the caring family, we saw the mother trying to kill the daughter and another guy using a pig's heart to try and convince him that he killed her, you know, like, and all this, you know, it's like a messed up story, but we don't take it away like that because of all that fun stuff that's going on.
I was under the impression, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but that all the older Disney's movies were based on fairy tales, which are dark on their own. But am I wrong about that?
Well, the majority
of them are. Yeah. They're even based the on mermaid. Either old
Little Mermaid,
yeah. Fables, yeah, Tales,
yeah.
Cinderella. Like, yeah, those are all in okay. Our Grimm's fairy. You know, we have a big Grimm's fairy tale book, and those, like, just about every older Disney movie is in there, and it's a different, they're a little bit more gruesome in that book or whatever, but yeah, a lot of those Disney movies are old fairy tales.
And even think about fairy tales, right? I mean, a lot of the fairy tales are so dark, and these are the stories we're supposed to be reading to our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I like that book that I've got, you know, like I read that with my boys and stuff, like just to kind of give it like this other perspective. They see the movies and stuff. They know the way it goes. I have another one of folk tales, you know, it's like things like Three Little Pigs. I remember the first time I read that to he's eight now, but it was a couple of years ago. And I read this old, it's from 1920 something that it was written. And, you know, like the pigs eat the wolf at the end of the story. And, or the one pig does, cause he kills the first two and the last one kills him. And then he eats him. And I remember throughout that whole thing, he kept going, I don't think that's the way it goes, Dad.
I know this story.
I know this different. Story and it doesn't go like this. And I'm like, well, this is just an older version. It did go this way before they chopped it up and made it what you know.
Yeah.
And that's what Disney does a lot, right? And that's what I heard too, Deborah, growing up, was that, oh, these are just remakes of old fables and tales. And that's what they've done for the most part. They just created a fancy marketing scheme to go with it. And that's what you see. But you start looking into some of the movies. I mean, and a lot of the, like you said, Deborah, a lot of them are the recent ones that are really dark. I mean, you start looking into, I mean, The Little Mermaid's probably one of the darkest overall when you think about it, because think about what they're telling you. That mermaid, that woman is willing to sell her soul, right? She's willing to give up her voice for a prince. I mean, that is just, if you're programming that into young girls, that, you know, you must be willing to give up anything to get your prince.
And the prince will save the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a tough one for me to swallow. And then you can go the other way into the magic side of things with the Fantasias and all of those, the wizard movies, the witch movies, the evil stepmothers and stepsisters and Ursula, right? In Little Mermaid, there's another, she's one of the most evil of them
all.
That
character was modeled after Divine. Didn't the, yeah.
Oh, the Disney drawing of her. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Which is, just think about that too. You're trying to interject that into a kid's mind to, on whatever level, like assuming the kid doesn't know who Divine is.
I would assume not.
I don't know. That's quite a while ago that they were showing, what would we call, he wasn't, transgender, but you know, a drag queen, you know, we're showing that to kids that long ago, you know, that's not necessarily all just brand new.
Well, if you move away from some of the cartoons, like we were just talking about Homeward Bound, and that's a Disney movie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And even in that one, the premise of the story is that the children are heartbroken because their mom has divorced their dad and is marrying a new guy that they don't really like. And they have to move to San Francisco from their country home that they were comfortable in. So the pets have to go stay with a friend, and the pets then escape to try to find their way home. But the whole premise, the first part, all the human interaction, you know, it's cute, animals talking, whatever. But the human part of it is about a broken home and kids being heartbroken and feeling displaced.
Mm-hmm. So many broken homes.
Well, and that, yeah, I mean, we can, I got a list here, but you look at the, where there's no, or there's absent parents, you got Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Sword in the Stone, Rescuers, Great Mouse Detective,
Rescuers is a good one to talk about. Oh, sorry.
That has a lot of the subliminal stuff in it too. You know, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Pocahontas, Lilo and Stitch, Finding Nemo, Ratatouille, Pooka, Wreck-It Ralph, Big Hero 6. Then you get into the wicked stepmothers, right? So you had Snow White, you had Cinderella, and then Enchanted. They all had these wicked, evil stepmother type figure. Then you had the characters where the mother was killed, died in the movie, or was captured, you know, like Dumbo and Bambi and Jungle Book and Fox and the Hound, Little Mermaid, Hunchback, Tarzan, Atlantis, Finding Nemo, Frozen. And then you have biological mothers that are the only ones there. There's no father, where you have Dumbo's, Rescuers, Down Under, Bolt, Beauty and the Beast. And then you have some where there's just adopted mothers, adopted parents. But yeah, so the list goes on and on. That's just some of them. I went with the main ones, but if you start, you can drill down, Deborah, then into their cartoons, right? Their programs that they show on a daily basis. There's all sorts of that in there. And now what they're pushing is the gay agenda in their shows. Rarely will you find a normal household, you know, I say normal, but like a traditional household in a Disney show these days.
I bet that doesn't exist in a show on there at this point. I mean, I just can't, just off the top of my head, I just can't really picture that being what they're trying to sell to anyone right now.
No, and even when they do, Chud, the dad is always this bumbling beta, right? He's this bumbling idiot that can't do anything right. That's the, you know, the trickster that the mom always has to fix everything in the house. And he's just totally useless. If it wasn't for mom, he'd be out of his mind, you know? And it's just these stereotypes that they put out there and put into kids. It's no wonder why families are hurting these days. I mean, it's been programmed into us from a young age and at all angles. Disney is just one aspect of this. I mean, you think of all the other companies and all the other people, especially today, pushing these agendas. I mean, it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And that spills over into so many things. Like, for instance, we have a year and a half year old baby. And when he was born, we got a bunch of hand-me-down clothes from someone.
Oh yeah.
And I was just appalled by how many shirts in this bag of clothes said something about the dad being stupid.
Yeah.
It was like, like the dad, it was like directions for the dad to put the diaper on. Like the head goes here, the legs go here, you know, or, you know, just horrible jokes about, and I just kept throwing them in the garbage, and we needed the clothes, but I'm like, I'm not putting this on my son.
He's a monster. He gets it from his dad.
Was there anything about how sexy he was?
Messy, like
sexy,
that. There might have
sexy
been,
baby.
Like, there wasn't. We would have had a girl. I wonder. Do they have like porn star onesies?
Yeah. With juicy on the butt.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So there was a movie that came out a few years ago that was Disney, I believe, was called Onward.
That was Disney.
Yeah.
That was the LGBTQ. Yep.
So that one had, it was about a father being deceased, and they had some kind of magic where they could bring him back for a limited time. Do you remember this?
I didn't see it, but I know
our son watched it.
He like gave me a hug that night.
He had to stop and he had to call you at work on the phone.
He was so upset because
it was so heart-wrenching about these kids being so sad that they would never see their father again. It was really emotional, and being for a kid and being Disney and me being busy, whatever we were doing, like he put it on and I usually, the first time he watches something, we watch together so we can talk about it. But in this instance, it was this on in the room and I was working and it was, he was, I've never seen him so emotional from watching something before. It was really intense. And it's all about magic spells and they somehow use these magic spells to bring their dad back, but it's only half of him. It's like his legs or something. And
it's
then
like
they have
the, it's like the story of Ray Kurzweil or something.
I'm not familiar.
He's from Google, right?
Yep.
He's like a transhumanist who's obsessed with his father's death.
Uh-huh.
So he's like trying to live forever so he can figure out how to bring his dad back.
Oh, life. That's so sad.
It's real. He's like the head guy that's like doing like the transhumanism.
To some degree or another, it sounds like that movie really is based on possibly that very real thing.
Yeah.
Well, and that, yeah, and that's the one too where they didn't. That's the one where they brought in the. It was like the LGBTQ like security guard or something.
Yeah, there was someone that helped. That was
it's a pretty that butch was the agenda pushed in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's but see that's what you get. It's. You think, oh, this shouldn't traumatize my kid. Then your son is calling his dad, you know, heartbroken that over something that should be enjoyable and should be, you know, uplifting for these kids. And that's what, you know, a lot of people don't see that. Disney, I equate Disney to a cult. It has a cult-like following. Many people put on blinders and just look past it. You can put this evidence right in their face. And they're going to say, no, you're crazy. It's the same thing I've got for the last 2 years since I started digging into this and sharing it with people that, listen, guys, Disney isn't what you think it is. You know, why don't you look behind it and look in the programming? And you can even go out there and there are plenty of articles out there on the web that rip Disney up, down and sideways for the programming that they're pushing and some of the agendas that they've pushed and things like that.
And those have always been around too. Like people have always been ripping on Disney. I remember, Adam mentioned The Rescuers at one point. I remember, I don't know, it would have been mid 90s or something. I'm not sure when Rescuers came out, but it was like a Time magazine or something had an article that was about some Christian group had gone through that movie frame by frame and they found pornography on single frames in that. And there were like pictures in there. I was pretty young too. So I was going, oh, cool. But, but they were, it was like, just, you know, like, I don't know, stock naked lady photos that would be placed on single frames. Like as someone would be looking up, it would be like small within the frame, just right there. And they'd be like smiling at this. And people were really upset about that. That week that magazine came out
away.
But I don't think anything ever happened. You know, that movie was still continued to be released the same as it ever was. I'm sure it's on DVD now.
So 1977, but that's the one that's like full on child trafficking, right?
Yeah. Now the story on that one, you know, I didn't notice that till I was a lot older. Like I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but you know, you just look back at that general concept of that little girl. She's like a little girl down in a well and she's been kidnapped by some elites and she's an orphan, but she's the elites are so bad she's like trying to get back to her orphanage, something to that effect. Like that's pretty weird stuff right there.
Well, that made me think of Oliver. I think that was Disney as well. It was animated, it's a musical, and it's about a little girl who's like being kidnapped and then kidnapped again by a different person. She wants to choose the best kidnapper to keep
this kidnapper is mean. I hope I get kidnapped by someone nice next time.
It's so dysfunctional. It's like, and me, I grew up, I'm 38. So A Little Mermaid was the first movie I saw in the theater. I definitely sang Look at This Stuff at my talent show in the first grade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a cappella. It was probably horrible.
But see, there's another example of those, you know, you were mentioning articles that are tearing Disney down. Like there, that was going on. That's why you knew about the phallic imagery on the castle on the back. That's why we know, like, about sex in the clouds in
Lion King.
You know, like, we know these things because throughout time, different groups have said, hey, look, these people are demoralizing us, probably on a subconscious level. And everyone goes, oh, whoa, that's really weird. Whatever.
Just some guys having fun at work.
And like, the songs were great. Cat, like the cat in Cinderella, its name is Lucifer.
Yeah.
No way. Yes. I don't remember that.
Yeah. I remember that. And I'm pretty sure it's like that there's some bubbles when she's mopping the floor and there's bubbles in the room. Some of the bubbles, her reflection, she's not wearing any clothes. And I was able to find that again as well at that time when I was looking into the Disney stuff when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys know any adults that are super into Disney?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Our
former coworker.
Yes.
They like go like couples that go on Disney vacations without
children. Our friend that lives in California.
Michael's
friend.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then we know another family.
Adult Disney fans
that go all the time. They live down near Anaheim. They go there, you know, what? Six times a year, it sounds like, you know, talking to them. They it's like a regular thing for them. And
do you want to see some of these pictures, Deborah?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Can I share, Adam?
Yeah. Let's see. Share screen.
Yeah. Adults being into Disney, though, is
that's
so cool.
That's like people being into clowns.
We had a coworker who was married with no kids, and the two of them went to Disneyland once a year. It's like where they had their honeymoon. They seem to watch Disney movies all the time. And, you know, and he's a kind of a gruff guy. He like smoked cigarettes and, you know, drank on the weekends and, you know, was that kind of guy. But he and his wife loved Disney.
They're making like an adult only Disney intentional community. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, Tim Dillon had a whole episode talked about it.
There's no mistaking what I'm seeing. Oh,
yeah. And is this the Rescuers?
Yes.
This is the Rescuers.
Not Down Under, the first one, right?
Yep.
That's some tits in a window for anyone who's listening.
Yeah. Here's the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And that's the castle.
You look at all these towers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here's Monsters, Inc.
Oh my God! It's a picture of Uncle Roger
and Mommy
stick people
bending over
Uncle
Mommy.
Roger and Mommy having stand up sex from behind.
With the stick figure has boobs.
Boobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's Donald Duck.
Donald
rubbing his moose knuckle.
Yeah. And then this is the most disturbing. This is like Lilo and Stitch. And in the background, she has all these pictures of this little girl in like bathing suits.
Oh, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go here.
He's got a Roman soldier's helmet.
Yeah.
What was that from Beauty and the Beast?
Oh my god.
Oh, I've seen that 100 times and never thought of it as what, weird.
It looks movie, like a mouse pulling
which
anal
movie
beads
is
out
that?
Of another mouse.
That's Cinderella. That's Gus, the chubby mouse getting
he's
anal
getting
beads put
anal
on his tail.
Beads pulled out
put on his tail. Yeah, okay, now I can see it.
Stringing
come
the beads on.
On
his tail.
Come on.
Oh my god.
I mean, there's
what's that smokes. From? That looks like Ren and Stimpy.
I want to say a Little
creature?
Mermaid, but it's not.
It's a creature.
That looks like the white guy looks like a horse.
Yeah.
Foot size doesn't matter.
Oh, this is a good one for a
Roger
time.
Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
What's going on there
for
a good time?
Call
Alice
in
Wonderland. The best is yet to be. But that's not really a children's film.
Is it supposed
to
be a kid's movie? I saw it when I was a kid.
I saw it in the theaters when I was a kid, but it's
then we get
what
into
what are we looking
like
at here? What?
Candies, Hannah Montana guitar, supposedly. And
that's Miley Cyrus, right? Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With her split personality television show.
It's like Jim. Yeah. Oh, I saw this picture.
I've seen that
this
one.
This Frozen. What is it supposed to be?
Was it like lipstick
a flashlight.
Or something?
A flashlight.
A flashlight?
Jeez.
Oh, more like a fleshlight, right, guys?
When you
and then there's this one. This one. Oh. Makes
it's just that's poor placement. But, it feels Buzz like that could be an with accident.
A straw coming yeah. right from there.
Get gay these guys.
Gay days in at the Anaheim. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay. I'll buy it.
And then there's your priest.
There's the priest with the boner. Totally.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
That's not his knee. I've heard
that one a lot of times, but I haven't.
Everyone's like, it's his knee. I'm like, I'm pretty
sure. No, it's not his knee.
Nobody's knee is that bony.
It's there and it comes back several times as you watch that scene.
And then this is this. There's two more. This one is probably one of the most disturbing.
Oh my God, Jesus! Where is that? That's probably from that Ghislaine Maxwell.
It's like a Walmart ride.
That's almost like you feel like it wasn't originally like that, and someone like flipped it over or something.
It's Donald Duck on his back, like if he was like floating on an inner tube, but there's no with his butt in the inner tube, but there's no inner tube, and his hands it's are like kind of propping his back of his head up, and the little girl's sitting on his crotch.
And it's like one of those rides that you would see outside the grocery store.
And when your we kid were kids. Begs you to put a coin in.
Beg for a quarter to yeah. ride it, and you yeah. never get to, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and you put the, or if you do, if you get one, it doesn't work.
Right. Or it
goes
right.
for like 12 seconds.
And here's Mickey and Minnie. Minnie's with a really dress. Clear phallus there.
Oh, yeah. Minnie's dress is that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's her dress. Now yeah. I see it.
Yeah, it's just it's so yeah. That's oh, I got on and on. I can't do
on and on.
Yeah, I'm sure that's really just the tip of the iceberg with these kinds of.
Oh
things.
Yeah, I mean I have a whole folder of this stuff of just and there's some where people embellish it a little bit. You have to be careful too because some people now have started photoshopping stuff into these, so yeah. you have to really. I took a lot of them as screenshots from the movie just to be safe.
Well,
so.
And some of them could be you know like the one that. I mean, right away, I was like, wow, that looks like a mouse is pulling anal beads out of another mouse. But you point out that he was putting beads onto the mouse's tail.
His tail. Yeah.
And like, yeah, our brains can do that when we take the still and look at that. But I bet it would be hard to see it as that when we're watching it and seeing the beads go on there and assuming that that happened fast. You know, that like that might not be a subliminal thing put in there at all but right it just
but that picture
but it's funny it's funny totally as hell funny. To take yeah. a picture of it and look at it
but man to think that this stuff is just kind of there all the time in the background for our kids is really disturbing
yeah now we'll wrap it up with the most disturbing part which is the actual Disney employees and their issues with sexual abuse, sexual assault, and things like that.
Trafficking, right?
Yeah. Now, we're all pretty familiar with Jeffrey Epstein, right? And Jeffrey Epstein had an island called Little St. James.
Right. Who's that?
Who's that? No. Yeah, I saw.
Ironic.
I was listening to Ripple Effect one time, and Ricky Verandas had this guy on who was from like England or something. He was like in a metal band. And he's like, yeah, it's like this whole Epstein thing, you know, it's so crazy. And the guy's like, who know? And like, he didn't know who Jeffrey Epstein was. And he's on like one of the bigger conspiracy podcasts.
Yeah, I think you're on the wrong
podcast. Living under a rock at that point.
Yeah.
So
the name of, what's the name of the island again?
Little St. James.
Okay.
So Disney on its Disney Cruise Line offered snorkeling excursions to Little St. James Island from which kind of doesn't look right. Why would you be taking children to Jeffrey Epstein's island to go snorkeling?
It so just the cruise, seems... you would be on a cruise and you would then go to that island for the day to go snorkeling around the island?
Yeah, it says Disney Cruise Line sponsors a snorkeling expedition to the island, now known for its connection to the child sex trafficking ring.
Yikes, guys, not looking good.
And what's, you know, what they say is what's even crazier is between 2000 and 2014, over 200 passengers went missing on cruise ships. And 200? Since you're at sea, there's nothing you can do.
International waters.
Maritime. Wow. Yeah. So
wow.
It's those type of things. And then you get into Disney itself. So I don't know how many, you know, but the vice president of Disney at one time was sentenced to 6 years in prison for raping children.
I didn't know that. The head
of Disney sentence. Music Group. Yeah. Michael Laney was his name. He was the VP of Disney. He only got 6 years.
Michael Laney. Repeated,
it's not Laney. It's a Laney. There's no relation.
And then you have John Healy, who was head of the Disney Music Group, who was arrested and charged with abusing two underage girls. You had, you know, there's multiple arrests for pedophilia, child porn, child abuse. You go on and you look at any of these big stings that are going on nowadays where they're, you know, supposedly rounding up, you know, 80 to 100 people. You're going to get a handful of Disney either employees in every single one of those.
Do you know what the stuff we know about context is of all these ones that were just arrested in Florida?
I haven't dug that deep into the most recent one. But here's one in, it says 35 Disney employees arrested on child sex charges in less than 10 years. So we're not heading in a good direction when it comes to Disney.
They're this competing stuff. With CNN.
Yeah, basically, right? I mean, it's not good. And you look at this stuff and it's just frustrating because a lot of people allow their kids to access this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And all they want, you know, it comes back to that, you know, it's the babysitter. Like, you know, someone gets Disney Plus, and I'm sure that they say that's the app that my kid can just have total free access to, period. I'm not going to pay attention. Like, you know, I know that they're going to be watching Disney movies, and I think National Geographic programming is on that same app. And that's that's it, you know? So everything they're going to learn is going to educate them of important factual stuff, or it's going to be innocent, you know, family friendly programming.
It's not
you guys face climate change dongs.
Yeah. Do you remember who they did a documentary on a few months ago?
Fauci.
Yeah,
that was Fauci.
That's why they had to turn off the thumbs down on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, they got rid of the
still do thumbs down, they just don't show how many thumbs down there were.
You know, it's not only what kids are watching now, there's more interaction than ever. Like our son doesn't have a tablet, but I know other kids have tablets and they can download different apps where there's games and stuff that are supposed to be educational, and Disney's all over that as well. Oh. And you give them access to your microphone and your camera when you set it up so that you can, you know, interact with these games in that way. And that is really disturbing to me. So that's why we've
particularly with games there. Like that, I could see that. I mean, like, I don't know anything about it, but like, you know, just games that need to, you know, it's accessing the camera and it's by Disney or, you know, we don't even have to just pick on Disney. I don't care who it is that is creating a game that's like free for a kid that's going to record their face while they're doing
that
stuff.
That was the whole Pokemon Go thing, is that they had access to everybody's camera. So everybody was pretty much doing like Google Earth for them, but like going into businesses, and because you could go find some like Snarlork in some church, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I actually had an issue with that. My niece, who is six, was playing one of those games, you know, like a Minecraft type game, and some creepy adult found her and was like talking to her and saying, you know, these really weird things. And luckily, you know, when the kids play games, we're always right there, so, you know, to monitor it. And it was like, okay, nope, deleted the game. Got rid of it. Nope, never again.
I guess Ring makes all sorts of stuff that you can like put in children's rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like people have been talking to like children,
talking through the baby
monitor. I was gonna say they're starting this even earlier with baby monitors that you can. Oh, you know, I can just look on my phone anytime I want and see my baby sleeping. Well, guess what? so can a lot of other people. And the people who can do that, who like, you know, take the time to hack and get into a baby room's freaking camera, you think there's anything that's even like remotely not the most disgusting shit you've ever imagined going on there? That's, and I mean, it's just, it's bad enough to think about that happening to a 10 or an 8 year old with the games like I'm talking about, or any other, I mean, even anything where they're holding something in front of them with a camera, they might not realize it's activated, but it's just filming them and their emotions. And if it's paying attention at the same time to their face and their reactions to whatever they're watching, you know, I mean, it's just data collecting on like emotional levels that are crazy. And then you just back that up a little bit more and you go, wow, we're already doing that before the baby has walked or anything, because the you know, they're infantile. It's like the first time you leave them alone. A lot of parents who aren't thinking about any of this stuff, who are using a smart camera for a baby monitor, they're from the first time they walk away from their baby, they're filming them and putting it out there for anybody with the wrong mind can find.
And yeah, we hear these stories of like people catching that happening like one time in their baby's room. Like they're not catching 100% of them. I guarantee that's going on all the time without being caught.
Mm-hmm. That show America's Funniest Home Videos, the newer episodes, I swear half of the videos that are there catching people doing hilarious stuff are from Ring cameras or cell phone cameras, things that are just always recording in your
doorbell
house.
Cameras are
There's people that are starting to put cameras in their house as monitors now, and it's like you're just under surveillance 24/7 now.
Crazy
for what reason?
By choice, you know? But when you're doing it, no one's asking. You're doing it because you want to do it. And, you know, people just have no idea that, you know, Amazon and Disney and other, you know, megacorps, they want you to. They'd love to ask you to, but they know that would be too much. They couldn't possibly ask you to, like, record everything you do. But instead, they put products out that make people go, oh, I want that product. And in order to make that product the most efficient possibly, I want it to film my whole house. I want to have I want my refrigerator's contents to be able to be accessed by a camera at any time so I can see what's in there while I'm at the grocery store. You know, you name it, and we're putting it out there for data to be able to be stored and used on whatever levels.
Alexas are free.
Yeah.
They give you an Alexa for free.
My God,
why would they give you anything free?
Ask Deborah, she's got one.
Nothing, nothing is free.
Deborah, you still got that Alexa hooked up?
It's never been really used.
It has been used. I've seen it used at your house before.
To try to get answers, but no, it's in a cupboard. That was given to us.
It was
given
house,
to you by Amazon.
Turned on. I saw your husband go, Alexa, play Steely Dan. You know, like.
Whoa, he had Coke?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think my aunt and uncle had one, and your parents have one. I know because our son calls. He loves to call me from his parents' house because he can just speak and then the room calls me or whatever. And I didn't realize that until he says, okay, goodbye, mom. And then he says, Alexa, hang up. And I was like, what is he doing over there? He needs to get him back home. We have to have a conversation about what that is.
I haven't had it in a while, I think, because I denied it. But like, I remember buying stuff off Amazon. I mean, it's not any better having this, ordering shit off Amazon with this. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember like, checking out from Amazon and they're like, oh, would you like, you know, a free Alexa?
So, oh yeah, they'll give them away. They want it in your home. It's another way to track you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On top of your TV, on top of your phone, on top of everything else.
So they want to get us to the point where we don't have to ask for anything anymore. They're going to provide us with what we need.
You will have a robot show up at your door.
They see it as a flaw that we have to type something into a search bar. They want us to be able to open up Amazon and here's the things you need. So it just hit buy.
2025 is the last year to buy a non-autonomous vehicle. So I'll buy a big diesel truck in 2025. Yeah.
Stock up on cars.
Yeah, start collecting cars.
Like my dad's yard.
Everyone's going to hate you because you got too many cars on your property, but it might be worth it. Yeah, it's a crazy direction we're going in with all that stuff.
Yeah,
it really is.
For that matter, all that monitoring, how many car keys have microphones in them now?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I hear a lot of them
key fobs.
I hear the key fob, which is the key, because you don't even plug a key into a modern car anymore. That's got a microphone in it, and that's in your pocket. Even if you're being smart. Yeah, I think you can, start the car because you can remote start instead of having to press a button. You just tell it.
Well, I have a 2005 Honda, a Pontiac Vibe and a 2013 Ram 1500. So
I think you're safe.
I'm safe for now. You guys ever play the Lanny and Paul taught me how to play this one. I've only played it with fifth wheels and travel trailers and stuff, but you put anal in front of the name of your vehicle. So I have an anal Pontiac anal vibe. And
it's just with the model. So you just have an anal vibe.
I have an anal anal Ram 1500.
It's a fun road trip.
I got the anal Bronco.
That's a good one.
Anal Explorer is pretty good.
Anal Ranger is good.
Anal Escape. Yeah, Ford's got some good ones.
Anal
there.
Tundra. I like that one too.
What's yours, Deborah? Anal
Crosstrek.
Crosstrek.
Anal Outback is good too. I also have a Crosstrek.
You got the anal trooper out there. it's
anal
it's a fun
fiesta.
Way to kill.
Yeah. Fiesta, yes.
I was one of those people who used to own a Fiesta.
Excellent.
This is a great road game, by the way, Adam.
Yeah.
For real,
I don't know if it's going to be approved for my 9-year-old yet, but I'm going to be playing it everywhere I go.
You hold on to it until he is old enough, and he's going to love it. And see, what's really great about the game, you play it for a while, and you're like, you kind of get tired of it because, you're seeing the same cars all the time. But then all of a sudden, like, summer will come around, and you'll start seeing RVs. They're like
anal
like
prowler,
anal warrior.
the prowler.
RVs are really
I've got an anal Montana also. So,
oh my.
Well, maybe that's the sign that we should probably call it quits for the night. What do you guys think? I loved what we did here today. This was fantastic. I think
this was great. We didn't even get into the new stuff with DeSantis, but I don't even think we do.
Yeah.
This anybody listening to this, such as Deborah, that's right here with us, knowing all this, I think is important when you're hearing in the news right now, particularly liberals saying that we can't do this to Disney. They need to be able to have their status that they have. We can't make them start paying taxes. Think about what that'll do to the state of Florida. These aren't good people.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I never thought about the whole thing that they love Florida now too. They mm-hmm. want Florida to thrive instead of having all its citizens die from COVID.
Right. They should, if they hate Florida the way I kind of think, they should be saying, yeah, Disney, just get out of there.
This is the
biggest
biggest inversion in a long time that I've seen. And it just goes along with everything that's going on. And it's on our end too.
It breaks my little libertarian like mind that I got too, where because I'm so pro being sovereign, like as an anarchist, I think everyone should be able to start their own private sovereign nation.
Yeah,
we should all be able to have our own roads and fire departments. We should at least be able to have that as an option and not have to be in the centralized system that everyone else is in.
Well,
we should be able to do what Disney's doing, but we're not able to, but Disney is, So it's like, am I going to fight for Disney to be able to do what I want to be able
especially
to do?
Especially now when we've established that they're hurting children.
Yeah. Let's fight for their right to do it when we have the right to do it as well.
Yes.
Like, I'm fighting for my right to do that,
not for freaking Disney or really for anyone else, really. But especially not any, you know, multi-billion dollar megacorp. I'm not fighting for them for anything.
Yeah.
Nope. Not giving them a dollar of my money or an ounce of my energy anymore.
No. Yeah.
Deborah, exactly. Are you a Disney Plus subscriber?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, me either. I've never had it. I'm not into it. But yeah, let's call it.
Yeah, that sounds good. We got in a good anal game talk. So yeah, this was a successful episode.
Fantastically researched on so many things, and your presentation on this is really, really good. And I think our fans are going to love this episode. So
yeah,
we can't thank you enough for staying up late with us and doing this. I know it's later where you are, and we really, really appreciate it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. And Deborah, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be on with you. I've been listening to you guys forever, and I love you. You know, you are an absolute sweetheart.
Well, you're very kind.
The show is one of my favorites because of the dynamic.
Well, it's all Adam. It's all Adam.
It's not all me. Says that. Not all me. It's not Adam. Adam red pills somebody else. It's
Deborah gets.
And you, Matt, your program, I freaking love The Great Deception, man. Every episode is gold that comes out. And your master debaters, I look forward to that every week. It's so good. You get such good people on there, and you just get good conversation going. You know, those are awesome. And your solo episodes are so good too. Like, what you're doing is, you're doing good work, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm just trying to get this out there. I want people to talk, you know, and just get I want to bring conversation back. And that's really what I'm trying to do with my show and in my life too, is try and get people to talk again, whether you agree or disagree, be able to have a conversation and find some common ground. Because as much as we think, you know, I'm not a lefty, I'm not a righty, we have so much more in common than those things that we see on the superficial level. And if we can start breaking that down and just forgetting about that stuff and having person-to-person conversations, I think that's where we start, and we start turning this country around. Because, you know, we can yell till we're blue in the face that you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. It doesn't get us anywhere. When we talk and have a rational conversation with someone, that's when you start breaking down some barriers and start opening up people's minds to things they might not have been open to previously. And that's really what I'd like to do. I just want people to think again and talk and enjoy good thought. Because we've lost
to each other, see each other as human beings.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Get away from the black mirror.
That even goes for like the conspiracy world itself too. Sometimes I feel like, you know, like someone crosses the line because if someone's a flat earth and someone believes in aliens, they feel like they can never, ever have any common ground. But guess what? Both of you think that everything that comes out of NASA is a lie, and you can have really good conversations there without having to agree on the macro aspect of what you think things are, you know. And there's just so many boundaries that we end up putting up all the time. And whether it's on the big scale or the small scale, whether it's like, you know, all of our culture right now, or if it's like our conspiracy culture or whatever that we're in, you know, on podcasts like this, like, I don't know, we all got to talk. Conversation is the key.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just talk and find common ground. The more common ground we can find with each other, the better off we're all going to be.
Amen.
Oh yeah. Matt, plug away.
Yeah. You can find me at the Great Deception Podcast on Instagram, on YouTube. That's my two main areas. If you want to shoot me an email, thegreatdeceptionpodcast@gmail.com. I love talking to people, getting people's feedback, interaction, things like that. So any of those platforms, feel free to reach out to me and I will get back to you.
Right on, man. Awesome. Get an Odyssey. I'm trying to push stuff on Odyssey now.
Oh, I have Odyssey. I got Odyssey and BitChute too. I just don't push them because I haven't really built them up yet. I'm trying to get my video skills down, and then I'll start putting stuff over there.
Right on. Cool,
but
man.
Yeah, I'm with you. Go get away from YouTube. It's bad news.
Yeah. 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 Right on. Well, thanks again, dude. And we'll talk to you soon. All right. Thanks, Lanny,
for
joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. This was great.
And yeah, talk to you guys soon.
Hey, thanks.
Right. You guys.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day, deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, oh, she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.